What's my pet peeve? Messy cat litter. Those furry little pads turn into cat litter super spreaders, leaving the already been used litter scattered across the floor for your bare feet to discover. The solution? World's Best Cat Litter's new load tracking and dust control. It's quick clumping, made from corn so it doesn't stick to paws like clay, and specially formulated to stay where it belongs, in the box. Switch to World's Best Cat Litter for a happier, less littered home.
In a world of big-budget blockbusters, travel back in time to explore the epic...
That shark exploded more blood out of him than any kid should have in their body at one time. That was,
wow.
That was intense.
And not so epic.
Wow, of all the movies from the 70s and 80s, you go with Howard the Duck.
Quit picking on George Lucas.
Movies of yesteryear. Join Tim.
He's got all those teeth and no toothbrush.
Chris.
The movie is called Jaws.
What?
No.
Get out of here.
That's what it's called, Mouth.
Dana.
I don't think you get points for favorites.
You're fantastic.
I'm not sorry.
That's awesome. I wouldn't be sorry.
And Spaz.
What an idiot.
On their adventures through Nostalgia Land, this is On Second Watch, a movie nostalgia podcast.
I thought we were going to go with how many Twizzlers did Spaz eat?
No, because that's a trick question.
You ate way more than I did.
I don't feel good right now.
Today's episode is on Jaws, 1975 blockbuster directed by Steven Spielberg.
I know nothing about this movie.
Yep. Yet again, a movie Dana has not seen before.
Dana has not seen any movies.
At least I have. So 3 out of 4 of us have seen this movie.
I thought you said part of it. You haven't seen the whole thing all the way through, Tim.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen this multiple times.
All right.
What, are you lying?
Go ahead, Dana.
I don't know. Has he seen Jaws the Revenge, though?
Probably not. That one's pretty bad.
I don't know what's going on right here. Yeah.
Do you not know what this is?
No.
Yeah, that's right. You're not parents.
No, but I feel uncomfortable right now.
Is this that
right
stupid
now?
Shark song or whatever?
Yes. Baby Shark? Yes.
And this is Baby Shark.
Oh. You're stupid, Baby Shark.
Yeah, I've just ruined the night for every parent listening to this right now.
I don't know what this is, but it makes me uncomfortable. I don't know what's worse now. Spaz or the shark.
Well, it's a little bit of everything.
Hey.
All right. That's just to get us in the mood.
My
get everyone's
Baby Shark.
Get some PTSD with Baby Shark. All right.
Literally.
Anyone know what this movie was rated?
Uh-huh.
PG-13.
Mm.
R? PG.
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 I got it. This I was going to get it eventually.
This. Congratulations.
I was going to say, G was next.
You guessed all of them, but NC-17 and G. So.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was rated PG. I always thought that was surprising. But back then, I don't think there was a PG-13 rating until later on.
Not yet. No, it was one of the movies that kind of set everybody off. Like, okay, there needs to be an in-between or something. Took them a little bit longer, but does anyone know what the last straw was for a PG movie?
Gosh. I want to say I used to. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I'll give you a hint. It's Indiana Jones.
Yeah. It was the Temple of Doom, right?
Temple of Doom.
It was the heart scene.
Yeah.
Human sacrifice, all that. Yeah, that was the last straw.
Monkey brains.
And they finally created PG-13.
Because that movie messed up.
Yeah.
Do you know what the first PG-13 movie was?
No.
Nope.
Russians.
Really? Red Dawn?
Yeah. Red Dawn.
Wow.
The first PG-13 movie, yep.
Wow, I'm surprised. That was 1984? No.
No, it was 86.
I don't know. 87?
Well, now we're going to dive into a rabbit hole.
Maybe in another podcast. So we'll watch both Red Dawns.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll stick with the original.
Okay, fine.
The new one wasn't so okay.
All right. So Jaws was based off a book by the same name, written by Peter Benchley.
Oh, yeah.
He contributed the screenplay. I think he did 3 or so revisions before he tapped out. Jaws was considered the first summer blockbuster, so that term didn't really exist until Jaws. And it was actually the first film to score over $100 million in the box office. It kind of changed everything, and it was the movie that should have never happened. Everything that was going wrong, it's surprising that it actually came out, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Dana, since you've never seen Jaws before, based off of what you know, why don't you give us a plot rundown of what the movie's about?
If you say it's about a shark, I'm going to be pissed.
It's about a shark that kills people.
Well, I'm going to take a line off of something that you guys probably don't really watch. And I'm going to go off of an Invader Zim quote and just say, he's getting eaten by a shark. And that's literally all I can think about with this movie.
Oh, my
goodbye, God. Goodbye. He's getting eaten by a shark. I have no idea what it's about.
It's about a boat that's named a shark. That's it.
That's about
it's just about a boat.
That's about as accurate as your Bad Boys.
Seriously. Like, the best part of this podcast is having Spaz explain it before watching it. Like, if you weren't confused prior to this, if you've never seen it, now listen to his definition of the movie. He's going to leave you just lost and confused.
This boat, it runs out of gas. It's called Shark. And then someone says, I need a bigger boat.
Oh, my Lord.
No?
Like, I'm not, like...
Did you watch it?
Oh, I watched it. I just...
Like what? When you were on copious amounts of drugs?
That could have been the last time I saw it, yes. At least hammered out my gorge, yeah. So drunk.
That I believe.
So drunk.
So you honestly have no idea whatsoever
nope.
of what this movie is about.
Not the slightest bit.
And you think this is a...
Like, I'm impressed by the fact that this movie was 1975. And to this day,
I'm just,
2020.
I am just kidding. I have seen this movie like 50 times.
So I asked you what's the plot.
Sharks. Based off of a ride in Orlando, Florida.
Oh my
right?
God.
Right? No?
I hate everything about this.
Oh right. Is this right. not happening?
So we're skipping Dan. Spaz has been skipped.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wait, is that not the plot of the movie? Orlando, Florida, Disney World? Fake shark comes up.
Your torch has been
It's not happening.
It's not even a torch, it's like a matchstick.
Your matchstick has been blown out. Chris.
I don't want a matchstick. I want like a baby candle.
What's the plot of this movie?
The plot of this movie. So if I remember correctly, it's been several years since I've seen it.
Chris is getting me wrong.
It takes place in Amityville.
See, that's he's a horror movie.
And
close.
It's close to
Amity Island.
Amity Island, thank you. Sorry, Amity Island, yeah. Because I always remember like it being so similar. And it's like the summertime.
It's a ghost.
And there happens to somehow, some way, a shark makes his way into this mainland, this killer shark.
Yeah.
And sets off like just, you know, amount of chaos during the summer months of this island that, you know, depends on all the tourism and stuff.
Yeah.
And with having this killer shark.
Wait, white.
In the water, it's hurting business and stuff. And it's up to the sheriff, this researcher, and
this really awesome dude. Owns a boat.
You want to take
kills
it?
I thought you were saying this was based on a ride.
It is. Technically.
I mean.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about all that crap.
Anyways, but I'm not going to go through and go through the whole thing. But basically it's that. They, you know, it's their job to take out the shark.
He tells a pretty good story about when he was in the war.
Yes.
All his boat shit. And the shark eats half of his people. And he makes it because it's a good story.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Chris, I think you're pretty accurate. I tried to keep myself awake because it's been a long time since I've seen Jaws. Yeah. So I tried not to get too into it, but I got sucked into a tide pool of knowledge.
I'm better than a Tide Pod.
No, I'm not that kind of millennial. I started doing some research and started talking to some people and just so much information. So I'm going to have to take myself out of a little bit later here where we play the over-under game because I know these answers because of deep diving into it. But, yeah, it's 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, that's it.
Island, like you said, just relies very heavily on the tourism. And there's a shark attack. And, you know, the mayor does everything he can to hush it and just doesn't want it to ruin the tourist season because everything relies on it. So he gets the coroner to say, oh, it wasn't really a shark attack. It was a boating accident.
A liar.
And, you know, the chief Brody is working hard to try to convince him. It's like, yes, this is a shark attack. So it just chaos ensues. Once the mayor covers it up, another attack happens. So I'm really interested to see, because it's been so long, how gory this movie really is.
Let's see. I saw it as a kid. I mean, it's pretty much solidified the fact that I wasn't going to go swimming in any open water, fresh water, or salt, or a pool.
yeah, you just don't swim at all.
Yeah, no. But, like, I remember, like, as I got older, that's why we talked about it earlier, about it being, you know, PG and not PG-13 or R.
No,
because even though it's such an older movie, it is pretty graphic.
Yes.
The amount of
there's a lot of
gore and blood for a PG movie was surprising.
What you guys are saying is I'm probably not wrong about somebody getting eaten
by a shark.
Oh,
no, people eat
several.
That's like saying water's wet.
Yeah.
Dana, like about this movie. What's this movie about? Jaws. The big, name in itself.
Big shark. Big shark.
It's about shark dentistry. It's exactly that, you know. Jaws. He's
this
gonna get
could
braces.
Be a thing.
He's hungry.
This could be a thing.
He's got all those teeth and no toothbrush. His mandula oblongata. It's really all about people just getting in the shark's way. It's, the shark's the victim here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So a couple things I want to cover before we get any further. There's a couple people I want to give a shout out to. So if anybody is interested in getting a shout out in any of these episodes, especially one that involves one of their favorite movies, they can head to oswpodcast.com. You can get your shout out there. Two of them that I wanted to give right away. One shout out to Ko-Fi, K-O-F-I. It's the platform we use to kind of gather our shout outs and keep track of a lot of the work that we're doing. They helped contribute to us so we can keep making these things happen and record some more of these episodes. Also wanted to give a shout out to Matt, who contributed. He gave us some money so we can increase our Twizzlers and fudge fund. So
yes,
Matt,
Twizzlers!
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you.
Spaz needs
Thank
more
you for
sugar.
Pizzazz! Now we need sea salt caramel ice cream.
All right, so
let's work on that.
The next episode we do, if anyone's interested in doing a shout out, definitely
Diabetes.
Get to oswpodcast.com. I joined a Jaws Facebook group.
Attaboy.
Because I wanted to learn some more information. And these guys, all right, I swear to God, they are more passionate about this movie than any of the six or so Star Wars groups I'm a part of.
So they're going to hate my...
No, these guys are insane, man. They, between all the knowledge and the information they share and the fan art, I mean, there's just so much they were able to contribute, and they gave their own kind of nostalgia review when they found out we were doing a podcast episode.
I was just kidding about the whole Disney World being based off them. Oh, sorry.
You're fine.
Sorry.
They'll let you have it in the comments.
I don't read them anyways.
It's because you can't read.
That is a given. Audible, though, so I don't need to read.
A couple people left some comments I wanted to read. So Daryl said, I was the highly impressionable age of 8 when I saw Jaws upon its release in 1975, and I credit it to being the turning point where I really fell in love with films and everything about them, from script writing, production, effects, music. It says a lot about the film that can make such an impact that it remains my favorite film of all time at the age of 53. Another one from Philip says, I love this movie since I was 6 years old, and that's what got me into loving sharks. I've read everything and studied everything about sharks, and that's why I also love Shark Week.
Shark Week is awesome.
I haven't taken advantage of Shark Week as much as I probably should.
Dude, you're missing out hard.
And the last one I have here is from Daniel. It says, I was 14 when I first saw this masterpiece and loved every minute of it. So if anyone else wants to leave some feedback about the movies that we're doing, definitely check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Anyone that posts a comment, I try to incorporate in our podcast as well. So if you have any interest in following up on Jaws, or you hear about any of the movies we're going to do in the future, check us out, because I'll read your comments with your permission, just to share your own nostalgic view of any of the films that we cover. All right, so now my new favorite game, Over Under.
Oh, yay.
So you guys, Chris killed it in our last one with Bad Boys. He won, guessing correctly the most.
He cheated.
And like I said, I'm gonna take myself out of this one since I know the answers. So the first question is Jaws kill count.
Oh,
I have 4.5. So Dana, does he kill more or less?
More.
4.5. More? Let's go to Chris.
Oh, man, hold on. I'm trying to count. It's, man, I got to be honest. You said how many, Tim?
4.5.
That's like, it's, from what I remember, that's pretty damn close.
But you said kill, right?
Kill.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm actually going to say under.
I'm going under, too.
It was rated PG. There can only be so many kills.
Yeah, when I was...
people lose limbs, but I'm pretty sure it's under.
When I was looking into this, I was wondering if it was going to have the Jurassic Park effect on me, where I thought that in the first Jurassic Park that a lot of people died in that movie. But then I think it's only like 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that many, yeah.
No.
So I didn't know if this was going to be the same thing. So we'll find out after we watch it if it's more or less than 4.5.
It's been so long since I saw this movie.
All right. So the next one I have is probably just interesting to me because I'm the only weird music guy here. So in this movie, there's the Amity High School Band. marching band. You can hear them as source music. So source music being music that you hear on the movie, but it's also music that the actors or the characters hear at the same time. My question is, how many times do we hear this band playing in the movie more or less than 2.5?
Oh my, what?
This is just wow.
This is like oddly specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like this isn't like, hey, what is the generalized this and that of the movie? It's like, hey, remember that one time when this movie was made, you know, like night back in 1975? Do you remember how many times this band played
this band in? Is important to the movie.
I know it is, but still. What was your number?
2.5.
Do you hear this band more or less than 2.5 times?
Over.
I'm going to bomb this one this time around.
I'm going to say over as well.
I'm going to go with under. I'm going to ruin my streak.
That's all
right. I won my streak.
What kind of question is that?
Hey, seriously.
All right.
I don't care about band.
What was the time signature the band played in during the movie?
Yeah.
Was it be higher or lower than 2 hours into the movie?
Speaking of that.
Oh, God.
What did I do? I created a monster.
So, the movie is called Jaws.
What?
No.
Get out of here.
That's what it's called, Mouth.
The movie is about Jaws from James Bond. How many minutes into the movie until we actually see the shark?
Actually see it?
See it. Now, I'm not talking about the fin, the dorsal fin.
You want it full on, yeah.
You actually see the shark.
I want to say it's at least.
I have over under 45 minutes.
Ooh, that's it's right
over,
there.
It's right there. It's like it's a little bit over, I think. I just remember it being, because like that's
I think it's close to like an hour.
Yeah, it builds up the suspense because you don't see.
I'm going with over.
Watch it be like 44
yeah,
minutes.
No, yeah.
Like I told you, I watched or I know a lot of these answers, which is why I took myself out of it. So
I haven't seen it in over 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So being this is PG, there's only so much profanity they can get away with. But I do know for a fact that they say God or Jesus a lot. My question is, are we going to hear God or Jesus used in a profane way more or less than 10.5 times? And I'll start with Dan this time.
I'll go under.
Under. Chris?
I don't know. I feel like I already blown this game already with my answers. So I'm going to say, because they didn't use a ton of language, it's a longer movie too. It's over 2 hours, if I remember correctly. I'm going to say over.
Going to stick with going over on all of these.
Dana's over everything.
Are you one of those kids that answer like C in every multiple choice question sometimes?
That was me.
No, despite what Tim's going to say.
No, I was A, B, C, D.
So back in high school when we're taking the ACT test, Dana does a math question and she knew the answer correctly. However, she saw one of the answers' response was 7, which was her favorite number, which was incorrect. Knowingly, she selected that number because it was her favorite.
I don't think you get points for favorites.
You're fantastic.
I'm not sorry.
That's awesome. I wouldn't be sorry.
She got a better score on her ACT than I did.
There you go.
Because I didn't take it.
Neither did I.
High five. I yeah, buddy. So before we get into the movie, our mandatory nostalgia review of the movie. I'm going to start with Dana. Since you haven't seen it before, knowing this is a shark-killing thriller movie out of 5 shark fins, what would you rate this?
Give it a 4.5 because everybody talks about this movie and I have refused to see it up until now because
I'm just
of
really
that.
Jealous they haven't seen Jaws the Revenge.
I mean, 4.5 is like a right one step below like a masterpiece. So you're okay.
But I can change it after
your expectations
I see it.
Are very high.
Yes.
All right. Spaz, since I don't like the look on your face.
I don't like his face, period.
Dude, trust me. I hate waking up and looking at myself in the mirror. So ugly.
The man in the mirror.
So ugly. Dude, don't make me start dancing. I will.
Oh.
I know. All right. Answer the question.
What's your nostalgia review of Jaws?
I'll go 3.
Out of 5?
Yeah.
That's better than I thought you were going to say, based off of your earlier comments. So it's just kind of in the middle?
Yeah, I'm joking. Oh my God. Can't joke.
This is a little step of a Bad Boys for you.
Oof. You
give Bad Boys like a 2.
You gave it a 2.5.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Shut up. I can change it after the movie, Tim. I don't remember. I really don't remember.
All right.
It's been so long. I got to rewatch.
All right, Chris, where are you at?
Oh, 5?
Yeah.
Right now, a solid 4. I love this movie.
I'm similar to Dana. I'm giving it a 4.5 because it is, to me, it is one of the early masterpieces. It's going to be in the top 100 films of all time forever. Between what they were able to accomplish for the time, the fact that they did what they did when everything was going wrong, music, acting, it's just, it's, you know, like you were said, it's you were afraid to go in the water.
It's, I mean, the movie is just good across the board. I mean, I probably would rank it higher, but like right now I'm going to give it a solid 4 out of 5. I mean,
Richard Dreyfuss.
Well, yeah, Richard Dreyfuss, you got Roy Schneider. I think it's Robert Shaw.
Robert Shaw.
Yeah, like all these guys, like, I mean, and yeah, the cinematography, everything. I mean, for being like 1975, like for being like quote unquote an older movie and seeing and being at PG and seeing it at such a young age, like it's horrifying. And in a good way. And as you got older, you really appreciate just how good of a story it is. I don't know. It which makes it really disappointing that Jaws 2, Jaws 3, and obviously Jaws the Revenge, which is like 1988. Like they're so vastly subpar than this one. I mean,
they should have stopped after Jaws 2.
They should have stopped after Jaws the end.
I like Jaws 2. If I, well, again, I don't remember it. My memory
it's been a long
sucks.
Time.
It's the least worst of the sequels.
I don't have a memory anymore.
Jaws 3 is in 3D, and Jaws 4, I mean, we're not going to watch it here, are we? And just a heads up for anyone listening, you know, spoiler alert, they defeat the shark with a camera. That's all on this. Yep. Y'all looking at me, I'm crazy. Yep, that happened. And if you're really inclined to watch it, I mean, obviously go watch it. I mean,
don't.
It's funny in itself. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I might not watch it.
Well,
and someone's probably gonna, I mean, someone in the comments is going to tell me I'm wrong. Like, it's been like 15 years.
Since I mean,
but I'm pretty sure it's a camera, like the camera flash that like it like mixes up the shark, messes him up.
He's got it. He has a seizure.
Well, pretty much. And what he does is he flies out of the water, cuts himself open on the front of the ship, having the seizure from the camera flashes, and he dies.
What?
So long and thanks for all the fish.
I obviously would rather go watch Deep Blue Sea.
Mm. Yeah, because it's got LL Cool J.
And Samuel Jackson, and because it's good.
Yeah. It also has the Punisher. I don't know his name. I just know
which
the Punisher.
Punisher from the movies. I'm trying to, I'm blanking on his name.
The first one.
Yeah.
Clive.
No, not Clive-O.
He was the Punisher.
I don't remember. It's, anyway,
John DeVolta. Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe I blanked on that.
All our scores combined gives us a dead 4. Just straight across the board 4. So
you're welcome with my 3.
Well, we'll see what happens after we watch this.
It's going to go down to a 2.
If you fall asleep...
Dude, I'm probably going to pass.
He's all hopped up on Twizzlers. What are you talking about?
I only had one.
He's going to crash.
As of now.
Yes.
There's a bag.
It's a 2.5-hour movie or something like that. So.
All right, so we're going to stop here. We're going to go watch the movie and then come back with our follow-up review. So
my name is Spaz.
Thanks for sharing there, buddy.
If anyone wants to send a hate mail directed towards Spaz, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The I didn't realize you liked me that way deal. Because it's one thing to receive McDonald's, but an entirely other thing to know that they woke up early to face the world and bring you McDonald's breakfast still hot in the bag.
Appreciate you.
There's a deal for every morning. Now grab 2 loaded sausage burritos for only $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hurry into Mattress Firm's best Memorial Day sale ever. Get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin and save up to $500 on Sealy. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying Sealy purchases up to a $499 value. Or shop Tempur-Pedic, the most highly recommended bed in America, and save up to $500 on adjustable mattress sets in stock for immediate delivery. And get a $300 instant gift. Talk to a sleep expert today. Only at Mattress Firm. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details.
Sample bottles, dye marker, flares, safety float, temperature gauge, spear guns, SMG.
What are you, some kind of half-ass astronaut? When I was a boy, every little squid wanted to be a harpooner or a sword fisherman. What do you got here? Portable shark or a monkey cage?
Anti-shark cage.
Anti-shark cage. You go inside the cage. Cage goes in the water. You go in the water. Shark's in the water. Our shark. Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.
All right, and we're back. So let's start off with our over-under. There's a tie between Dana and Chris with three yes. out of four correct. Dan, you had one.
Which one did I blow?
Farewell and adieu.
Chris, you missed the kill count.
Damn.
You guessed under and it was over.
I should have gone with over. I would have won.
Dana got the source music wrong from the band.
I only heard it twice. So
the band.
I mean, the unfair question of them all. But,
I'm keeping it because I got it right.
That's fair.
So to do a tiebreaker, I thought, all right, let's go to the references of God or Jesus in a profane way.
I thought we were going to go with how many Twizzlers did Spaz eat.
No, because that's a trick question.
You ate way more than I did.
I don't feel good right now.
there we are. So God and Jesus is profanity. Okay. It was an over-under of 10.5. Dana and Chris both guessed over, and it was indeed over. So how about let's take a guess on how many there actually were. Closest to the actual total wins.
So it was over, what'd you have?
Over 10.5.
I'm going to go with 13.
That was my number.
Darn it, sorry. I stole it.
13.25.
That's kind of cheating or playing Price is Right, but...
You have 10.5!
Mine's better than your... No.
$1.
It was 18.
I was going to say 14.
Chris is 2-0. So...
By 0.25.
All right. So now now that that's settled and take your victory lap, let's go back to our...
There won't be any running. Too many Twizzlers.
Too many Twizzlers.
And Nutty Butters. Oh, the Nutty Butters.
Just too much of everything.
I should have got the ones with the fudge on them.
Easy. Anyways.
Next time.
Fudge.
So let's going back to our rewatch score, let's start with Dan. So you had the lowest of them all.
Like IQ or like what?
I wasn't going to go there.
I did.
But you did.
It's just easy.
It's
low hanging fruit. Sorry.
So Dan, you had a score.
No,
you had
it's
a
about 50.
You had a score of 3. So after rewatching it, where are you at?
One.
One.
No. Just kidding.
I hope so.
It's a 0.5. It's a solid 4.
A solid 4.
Hard.
Hard
4.
So what improved for you?
Hard.
Okay, we got it.
Oh, okay. What improved? The Nutter Butters made it really good. And, I've really, truly forgot a lot of what the movie was. Because it's been that long since I've seen it. And it probably would have gotten higher if I wasn't tired and
falling asleep.
Yeah. And then halfway through messing around with your dog to try to stay awake, he kicked my butt again.
Yeah. It's his job. He's the producer.
But no, that was... he's the producer. I like it. No, it was just, I love that. It just brought back good, strong memories. And, it was just a really frigging good movie. Well written, well acted. Yeah, it was just really good.
And boobs?
Damn, that side boob. I forgot all about it, man. That thing was just flopping in the wind. That was awesome.
All right.
Floppity.
Okay.
Bouncing.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Yep.
That's my bad.
That's okay. Subtle. Okay, Spaz.
All right. So, Dana, first time watching it. You gave it a 4.5 because of all the hype. So, where are you at after watching it?
I will leave it at a 4.5.
4.5.
That was a solid movie. So
it's a good movie.
I mean, in all reality, the hype wasn't something that changed my opinion much because it was just a solid movie, especially knowing how old it was compared to what I actually saw. That definitely stood the test of time. Just... overall, really good movie.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Chris?
Solid I like the, 5.
What? I like that movie a lot. It's like, I don't know if it's like one of my favorite movies of all time. I don't know if I can give it like a 5 or anything like that. I think I'm going to keep it at a solid 4. Like, to me, it's a great movie. I agree with Dana. I think, with it being how old as it is and stuff, it still stands up really, really well. Especially from like some of the movies I've seen from, the 70s and even 80s, and it's very, very difficult to watch.
Howard the Duck.
Wow, of all the movies from the 70s and 80s, you go with Howard the Duck.
Quit picking on George Lucas.
What an idiot.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a great movie. I don't know. I really enjoy it. I think everyone should give it at least a watch. That way they're guaranteed not to go swimming for a while.
Dude, I still go swimming. It's not, you're fine.
Nope. I don't even take baths, man.
I went swimming in Florida. There was a shark by the pier. People had to start throwing fish off because I didn't hear people calling me in because of
the shark. I just imagine him flailing in the water with his floaties on. And everyone's like, get out of the water. And he's just like splashing around.
Dude, I was like 16. No floaties. I know how to swim.
Just a life jacket. Anyways.
Those big orange ones.
Right, yeah. They're just like, oh, they're way too big for him and he can't even move.
Yeah. I can definitely see why that movie made you terrified as a child.
That is a gory movie.
It was.
That was true. Like, I mean.
Especially when Shaw died, man. Spitting blood up. Oh, yeah. Getting torn up by that shark.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. I can't remember the first time I've seen it. Like, I watched it. I want to say 8 or 9, maybe 10, probably 10. But yeah, I mean, to see that, I mean, and try to, like, you know. As a 10-year-old, your imagination runs wild.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm gonna keep mine at a 4.5. It's still, to me, it stands the test of time. It set a benchmark for, to me, what a good thriller / horror type movie should be. You don't see the shark that much, okay? And that was by happy coincidence. You don't for a lot of reasons, but
psychological. Though.
It's 100% in your mind in the music. It lets you know there's a threat coming, and you just don't see it. Poor Alex, man, just. Sitting on that raft, minding his own business. That shark exploded more blood out of him than any kid should have in their body at one time. That was,
wow.
That was intense. But, I mean, it's just, I can't give it a 5. It's really hard for any movie to be a 5.
Right, I don't know perfect if there is a perfect movie out there.
Well, there is.
That's Inception for Dana.
There's a perfect movie. But we'll see.
If it's a Star Wars movie, I'm going to be upset with you.
Empire Strikes Back.
Attack of the Clones was my fit. No. But I mean, at 4.5, it's got to be one of the top movies of all time. Going across the board here, our average score for this movie is 4.25, which is 0.25 better than our nostalgia score.
Huzzah! So,
Dan enjoyed himself more than the rest of us in more ways than one.
Uncomfortably so.
Man, Nutter Butters.
Very uncomfortably Quizzlers. So.
Hey, you know what? You got to find ways to enjoy yourself. I find my ways of enjoying myself making you guys feel awkward.
Yeah, just not in front of us next time.
Please. Oh no, it's gonna get worse.
What's really interesting too, with like this is being Peter Benchley's Jaws, and it's an iconic film. Is I really recommend everybody go and find Peter Benchley's The Beast or Creature from like the mid '90s. If I remember, both of them were like miniseries. Mm. Oh yeah. Oh, it's It's not Jaws. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
One stars Craig T. Nelson, though, so Coach is there. If I remember correctly, it was some kind of, like, shark humanoid monster. And the other one was a giant octopus.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you guys should check them out. 95 and 96, I think. Yeah.
You said The Beast, and I thought of R.L. Stine's book about the ride at King's Island, transporting him back in time.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different beast.
Yeah, that's just a beast in unto itself.
Yeah. So let's jump into a little bit about this movie. So it was budgeted for $4 million. They spent a total of $9 million. You think about today when they're spending, $100, $150 million on a movie. And if it doubles it or even more than that, I mean, that's a big-time problem. I mean, the shark alone costs $3 million. So
that is your budget right there.
So it's for a lot of reasons it was $3 million. But I can only imagine Steven Spielberg being, I don't know, he was like 24 or something like that. He was young. This is his second major movie, having to spend, double the budget. It's going 3 times longer to produce than they anticipated. Everything's going wrong. I can only imagine the stress that guy was under pulling these days. And I mean, Spielberg wanted to film this on an ocean. That was his number one thing. He didn't want to film it on a lot in a pool because he said people would notice. You're going to get the real experience being on an ocean. No major motion picture films were filmed on an ocean before this. It was always done on set for a lot of reasons that he found out very quickly, especially around the sun. I mean, as the sun moves, or not the sun moving, but throughout the day, the earth is spinning. So the color of the ocean changes all the time. So once he starts filming, the ocean might look blue and you have to cut and do all these things. Once he starts recording again, it might be more of an orangish hue. So he had time working against him. He had tides working against him. He had weather. So there's a lot of things just kept delaying. Not to mention the shark was a big disaster. I think the first time they dropped the shark in the water to test it, it sank. It was just the orca sank at one period of time with the crew on board.
You saw that at the end.
It was, yeah. Well, unintentionally sank. Unintentionally sank. It was nuts. So they had to get creative. So while they were trying to fix the shark, they had to film either other scenes or really try to take advantage of showing the shark without actually showing him. And we saw a lot of that. The yellow barrels, that was a happy coincidence thing that they used. That it was not intended at first, but they were able to show the shark without actually showing him by having the barrels drag across the water. And from a watching it point of view, it's something that I think it's more suspenseful than actually seeing the shark. I think just seeing these barrels chase after you is like, I mean, you know the shark's coming, but you don't know exactly where he's at. And it really created a very unique effect. And I think one of the things that Spielberg said was that, you know, kind of taking a approach like Hitchcock. It's the less you see, the more you get type of thing in a type of horror movie. So one of the things I wanted to play for us is a clip from another podcast called The Soundtrack Show, hosted by David W. Collins. He's a brilliant composer in his own right, does a lot of voiceovers, but he, in this podcast that he has, he'll take soundtracks from movies we all know and love and break them down to the music theory behind them and why they're so effective and powerful. So he has a 3-part episode about Spielberg and Jaws. And there's some interesting tidbits I wanted to share with everybody, so I'll go ahead and pull that up so you can kind of hear about how Spielberg and John Williams worked together to kind of show the shark through music to kind of give you an understanding of his presence. When you hear the music, you know it's coming. As it kind of slowly builds up and builds up, you can sense the impending danger that we as the audience can see, but maybe the people on screen weren't aware of right before the attack. So let's take a look at the soundtrack show.
This sets the tone for the entire psychology of this movie. And John Williams has conditioned us to know a few things right off the bat, just with this opening scene, right after the opening credits. When the music gets louder, so here's number one, when the music gets louder and less in the bassy instruments and more in sort of the high strings, etc., that means the shark is moving vertically up toward the surface. And it is swimming with a purpose here. Number two, when the music disappears, the attack is over. The shark is gone. The music disappears with the shark, and it's taking its victim with it. And then, you know, the third thing to notice here is that we now have a one-to-one relationship with that music and that shark. And we're not even 5 minutes into the movie. So our spatial perceptive function is supplied in no small part at all by John Williams here.
At the very beginning, when the girl's out in the water, you don't see the shark at all. It's all music. And then when poor Alex is taken, you get the music again. And then you kind of get a quick little glimpse of something taking him down. You don't know what. But that's the only time that you know that there's a danger coming. So when the beach finally opens, 4th of July, everyone's there, and suddenly there's that... People think they see the shark, but it's actually the two boys playing the prank. Notice there's no music at that time. So it's letting us know, hey, there's something wrong here. This isn't really the shark. You don't hear that da-dum, da-dum. It's just a fin going through the water. So that's kind of our clue that it's not really the threat that everyone else thinks it is. So it's kind of using music in a way to present the danger. So while the shark might be getting fixed or was just not giving Spielberg what he needed to demonstrate the danger, they were able, through music, to compensate for the lack of the shark to really save them from a lot of the disasters that was coming. So I think one of the quotes I had found earlier was that Spielberg attributes at least half of this movie's success to John Williams and what he was able to do from a score perspective. So there's a reason why Spielberg and John Williams have worked together for so long is because of the trust, the faith in each other to basically pull out of thin air a success that Jaws ended up becoming.
That's great! That's just great!
Okay, I said my piece. Anyone else have anything they want to throw in there before I keep going?
No, I agree. No.
That was really well done, Tim.
Yes, pretty much said it exactly yep. How it needed to be said.
Like I said, I went down a... a rabbit hole in Jaws information. I listen to so much audio, and I re-listened to the soundtrack show multiple times on my drive to work just to remember a lot of these different things and key in on some of the important details. I mentioned earlier that I joined a Facebook group that's just called Jaws. So if anyone wants to look at this as well, just search for Jaws on Facebook, ask to join. The questions that they ask are to join the private group are pretty basic. If you know Jaws, you'll be able to get in. But like I said, they're some of the most knowledgeable, deeply, deeply enthralled in this Jaws universe, talking everything Jaws, sharing fan art, everything. So they're a great community of people. They really did help by providing some deep trivia too. The first thing I wanted to bring up was the mystery of the Lady in the Dunes. Are any of you guys familiar with the Lady in the Dunes?
No.
So during this filming, there was a murder that actually had occurred pretty close to the filming location. They nicknamed the victim Lady in the Dunes because there was no identification. It's pretty graphic. I won't go into the details on how they found her, but they couldn't ID her. They didn't know where she came from. So it's just this unsolved mystery to this day of who this person is. There's been a lot of theories over the years, but Joe Hill, do you know who?
Mm-hmm.
You know who Joe Hill?
I do.
I'm sure you do.
Yep.
Stephen King's son came up with a theory that this woman they found may have actually been an extra in Jaws and could be seen because the description of the woman looked like it matched an extra that was in the background. So he wrote, I think it was an article or a theory about this Lady in the Dunes on how they were actually in Jaws and started going down the whole path of trying to identify the extras, since, you know, back then they didn't keep a really good log of who were extras in the film. They just said, hey, just show up, just, you know, do your thing. You know, Joe Hill kind of went down that rabbit hole to try to prove out his theory. And like I said, to this day, they still don't know exactly who it is or haven't solved it. So it's definitely something, if you're into unsolved murders or something like that, it's definitely something to look up. I thought it was pretty interesting, but definitely not something I'll get into much more than just that. I think one of the most common pieces of trivia is the feud between Dreyfuss and Shaw. Obviously, their characters, Hooper and Quint in the movie, definitely had that rivalry. The rich city guy that... and, you know, the old captain, old soldier. You could definitely see that rivalry from the beginning once they met. It continued offset as well. Shaw, you know, I think I go on record, just a very big personality, loved his alcohol.
My man.
You know, Dreyfuss said that he just, once they were offset and away from everything, kindest, sweetest, funniest, gentlest guy he ever talked to. But kind of as soon as he crossed that border between being on set, he dialed into his character personality and just went at him hard. So he was ribbing him the whole time. They were constantly going at each other, poking fun at him. There was a time that I think one of the biggest points where Dreyfuss kind of just lost it and just had enough was Shaw handed him his drink and just said, hold this for me or take this for me. And Dreyfuss threw it out. As soon as he did, everyone was just like, oh no. And Shaw kind of lost his cool. So the scene where they're getting dragged in the boat and the water's hitting him in the face, Shaw took one of those pressurized hose cannons and aimed it right at Dreyfuss and gave him a full blast to the face. And Dreyfuss lost it. I think I listened to an interview and Dreyfuss said that was the one time that he kind of lost his sense of humor for a little bit. Which I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take a fire hose at the face.
Won't have to take this abuse much longer.
Back in the day, Spielberg and George Lucas were very close friends, like, you know, going through school and through film together. They went to go visit the shark when they weren't filming, just to take a look at it. Lucas wanted to see it. So Lucas climbed in and stuck his head inside the shark, and Spielberg thought it was funny if he would use the controls and shut the jaw.
Awesome.
Of the shark on George Lucas. Things being as they were with that shark, it malfunctioned and it wouldn't open. So in their effort to get him out, they ended up breaking it, and then they bolted out of the workshop.
There goes $3 million.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the last time those guys probably break something.
Yeah. A lot of things got broken on a Star Wars set.
Like my spirit.
Hey, now. So I thought it was just funny. I could just see a young Spielberg along a young George Lucas messing around on set, just breaking stuff on accident. But you know, they're both in their 20s, so it's not so totally surprising.
That's what you got to do. Break things. Yeah. You got to test them.
So Spielberg himself has a couple cameos. Does anybody know his two cameos that I'm aware of in this film?
I used to. I knew one of them. I can't remember them though.
I wasn't looking, so I have no idea.
Well, you wouldn't have seen him. You would have heard him.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So the one most common one that...
He was the shark.
Yes, that's it, Spaz. You got it.
Yay!
A plus.
But what kind? What kind of shark?
It's a tiger shark.
A what?
The most common one we hear about is you overhear him on the radio talking to Quint. I think it's Quint, right?
Yes.
Coming in, just that's Steven Spielberg on the radio. The other cameo that you don't necessarily hear his voice, he is actually the clarinet player in the band. The reason why he's the clarinet player in the band was because John Williams wanted to, he has this full orchestra, these professionals, creating this the soundtrack. Well, to make the band sound like, a high school island band, he instructed them all to play just not good. Like an amateur, and which I can only imagine for a professional musician to suddenly play like...
Difficult.
You were six would be rather challenging. So he got his ringer in Steven Spielberg, who used to play clarinet, I think back in high school or something like that. But he wanted Spielberg to play lead clarinet for the band. And there are some moments where he'll be playing, and he fairly good job, but it's a little off key. But that kind of helps it kind of just feel like a little small town orchestra group coming together to play, not necessarily professionals. But I did read that the orchestra probably had the most fun that day, just kind of letting loose and not playing to the best of their ability. So I mean, there was a lot more common trivia than that. I just wanted to kind of dive into some of the good ones, some of the ones you might not hear about as much, just to make it a little bit different today. The next thing I wanted to touch on was, so Robert Shaw's son, Ian Shaw, actually has written a play called The Shark is Broken, and it's actually premiering very soon, I think in May. So while I was putting us all together, that's when I found out that this play is something that he put together. And he's playing his dad in this. He's a dead ringer for his dad. He looks just like him. He's got his voice down pat.
Awesome.
And what this play is, it's a comedy play based mostly off of what actually happened, but it's a kind of the behind-the-scenes drama. And it follows the three main actors, as they're dealing with the production chaos. So with the shark breaking, all the issues with the set, it just kind of follows them and their experiences through the filming of this movie. It's getting rave reviews. People are saying it's very entertaining. It's very funny. Something definitely to check out. If you ever find yourself in London, definitely not on our side of the pond, but if you're in London between May 11th and July 18th, definitely check out the Ambassador's Theater to get a chance to see this play. It's definitely getting a lot of attention. Keep your eyes open. Hopefully he'll get enough publicity and enough cachet to make his way over to the States, because I know there's a lot of people asking for it. So for those of us in America, hold out hope, and hopefully he'll make a
Detroit's
US
a nice
tour.
Area. Come to Detroit.
It's decent. We have a decent theater crowd.
I just really want to see it, so okay. I just come to Detroit so I can go
maybe
and
we'll
watch
do,
it.
If he comes to the States, maybe we'll do a road trip to a place that's more likely to have something like this.
Oh, fine. New York. New York sucks. Right. I'm just... actually, I love New York. Bars are open till 4, baby.
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, man. Bagels.
So to me, they're...
man, you're still race, you done?
Ray's Pizza?
Oh, you're God. Still thinking about food.
Yeah. I'm always thinking about food, even if I'm full. Doesn't matter.
He did throw away an entire sandwich.
Half a Sammy.
It was a tiny sandwich to begin with. So it's like, it's even more
I
insulting.
Made it large. It was large
I'm not,
and in
I'm
charge.
Not, I'm not doing this with you.
It was a Sammy.
No, it's too late. Nope.
It rounds up to a whole sandwich.
Yep.
Half a Sammy.
Running up in disappointments.
So to me, there are four main characters in this movie. You have Chief Brody, Hooper, and Quint. And also the shark.
And Alex. Poor, poor Alex.
We can leave Alex alone on this one. So we got Bruce the Shark, Brody, Hooper, Quint. There are four of us. So, who's who?
Well, Chris has to be the shark because he likes to eat. He's an eater.
That's fair.
I'm Quint because I like to drink.
That was no question. I think all of us would agree you're Quint. I don't think
any of us would have said anything other than that.
Yeah.
1,000% you're Quint.
I thought you should be Alex. Yeah.
You wish you was
Alex. I do. But I was going to sit next to him.
I'm going to say Tim's Dreyfus or Hooper. You're
Brody.
You're Brody. There it is.
Hey, you saved the day.
Got it.
You shoot me.
Yeah, you shot Chris, and he blew his ass up.
Okay, fair. I'll take it.
Man, I'm going to give you $5 for blowing him up.
Chris.
It's a hefty price.
Oh, sorry, $10,000. That's $10,000
is the fee, right?
Yeah, $5,000. It stinks, because you guys... I get eaten by Chris anyways, and you guys split the $10,000, $5,000 apiece. I don't need to be Alex. You ate me anyways. And I was singing Going Down, so it was whatever. Oh, dude, he should have sang that song.
While getting eaten? I think his mind was in other places. Yeah.
Man, he was in shock. He couldn't feel anything.
He was spitting out. It would have ruined the mood.
Farewell and adieu.
I think Bruce would have stopped eating. I was like, you know what? You do your solo, man. I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah, and you did. Bye.
Isn't Bruce the name? I never seen it. Isn't Bruce the name of the shark in Little Nemo?
That's why I said shark bait.
I wonder if that's like.
It might be a. It might be
deliberate.
Yeah. It has to be, right?
I would think so, yeah. I've never seen Little Nemo, so.
Finding Nemo, not
like... Little Nemo Adventures in Slumberland. It's something completely different. Yeah.
Yeah, it's porn, huh?
Dude, it's an awesome movie from like 1988.
It's porn.
Anyways.
Hey.
Spaz lives in his little bubble.
Spaz is getting really tired.
Well, since you're getting tired, is there any final takeaways anyone wants to share?
It's a great movie. Pretty much a
lot of fun.
It's quite the hop from Bad Boys.
It's different.
Yeah.
So much better.
You got a high quality movie here versus one that was like
so much better.
I mean,
I could have used some Mike Lowry.
Some Mike Lowry to explode. If you smash the two together,
there is only one explosion.
If you smash the two together, you end up with
explosion.
Meg or Deep Blue Sea the 2000s like shark fascination. There was like several movies about killer sharks.
Yeah,
not counting all the sci-fi originals that aired at
Sharknado
3 p.m. Yeah.
Let's not talk about Sharknado. Let it be known that is not something we will ever review.
Mega Shark or Shark vs. Python.
Oh yeah,
or all the other sci-fi originals.
Yeah.
I didn't watch them. I'm just saying.
Not up.
They were there.
Yeah. Not up in here.
They're up there for options, though.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I would sooner watch the Star Wars Christmas special than myself to Mega Shark versus anything.
I'm telling you, man, sci-fi Saturday afternoon movies are just like a plethora of awesome. All
right, a lot of C-rated movie stars in those.
That C's being generous, but yeah,
I'm good.
I mean, what I saw on most of my report cards, F's.
Yeah, there's like such classics like Skeeter.
yes.
No.
Okay. No. Are you sure?
Okay. No, I'm good.
I'll throw it in a couple months. So maybe they change your mind.
There are literally thousands of other movies I'd rather watch than
Frankenfish.
Yes.
Wow.
Fine. Don't hate.
No, I hate.
The movie's good.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. I'm just going to move on from there.
Subtly shut the door on all sci-fi originals. Fine, whatever.
I don't want to go down that rope. No, it's not happening. So you can subscribe and rate us on any of the podcatchers of your choice. I think I've covered them all. I think I've got our podcast on pretty much all the big ones.
They're out there.
Facebook, Twitter, that's where you can talk to us for learning about any of our future episodes. Leave us some reviews. Reviews are helpful just because we're new and we are amateurs at best.
Strive for mediocrity.
I strive for poorness, which is why I'm here.
But we try and we have fun. That's what's important. So hopefully everyone else had some fun too. Give us your feedback on the movie itself if you decide to watch it after not seeing it for a long time. I'm curious to know your opinions. But again, if there's a specific movie you want us to review... Head out to oswpodcast.com. Suggest your movie, and we'll let you know on social media what movie number 3 will be. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Frankenfish.
Not Frankenfish.
Monsters.
Anything but Frankenfish.
Sneak that tear.
No, let's... Okay, just... You're just not... You're fine, not, you're fine. Not, you're not choosing anymore.
I can't wait for Halloween to be
you shut your mouth, Hocus Pocus.
I cannot wait for Halloween.
Oh, my God.
Well, I take it back. Hocus. Halloween's going to be awesome. It's going to be like 4 months of horror movies.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it like once a week. Just to get all the horror movies. Oh, actually, every other day.
Start soon, like in August.
Yeah. September, yeah.
Get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We'll see.
You're welcome.
And that is on second watch.
There is no
horror movies. That's on... That's first watch.
Or night watch. That's a cool movie. We go, wow, okay, no.
Ooh, 48 hours.
Let's just... I can name movies too. Charlotte's Web. Let's go.
I was going with like a horror theme here. First watch, night watch. Spaz, four, five. Lethal Weapon.
It's a Christmas movie.
Oh, my God. It's not a Christmas movie.
28 Days Later. What?
Is there a good Easter movie? No. Hop?
Hop.
Yeah. Peter Cottontail?
I think that's it. Is there a horror Easter movie yet?
Oh, there's...
Of course.
Yeah.
It's horror movie.
Zombie Jesus, are we going there?
There is one like that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're not going there.
I forget the name of the movie, though.
All right.
Goodbye! Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain.
He's getting eaten by a shark.